Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Our mission is to make analytics practical. This is not about abstract theory, but to share true stories of how using analytics helps real-life businesses with real-life constraints make the best possible decisions to compete, grow, and thrive. I'm your host, A.G. Tan.
Isn't procurement and sourcing just another word for going shopping, but for companies? Personally, I like shopping. It's fun figuring out if anyone actually sells the thing that you're looking for and then trying to find the best deal for it. In normal times, with a well-functioning global trade system, it's frankly amazing what it's possible to buy and how readily everything is available. But occasionally, and out of the blue, abnormal times come along. Take, for example, the spring of 2020, early in the COVID-19 pandemic. For some reason, everyone became anxious that they would run out of toilet paper and started buying more than usual, which led to stores running out of toilet paper, which led to more anxiety, and so on. Households, including mine, started scouring the internet for alternative sources of toilet paper, and even alternate solutions to the toilet paper problem. Now, imagine that you are not shopping for a household, but for an entire company. And imagine that it's not just toilet paper that's hard to find, but everything the company needs to buy. And imagine the reasons for scarcity go way beyond just a little bit of anxiety. This is what procurement, sourcing, and supply chain professionals are facing right now. Fortunately, there is something that can be done, and technology plays a part. I am really excited to introduce today's guest. Brian Baum used to manage sourcing, procurement, and supply chain systems at companies like Facebook and Chevron, but today he works at Anaplan, the connected planning software platform vendor, and he heads up the solutions group for sourcing, procurement, and supply chain. It's going to be great getting a view into the trenches of the procurement and sourcing functions today and learning how these functions are transforming, sometimes being forced to transform in this volatile world. Thank you so much for being here, Brian, and welcome.
Thanks, AG. Hi, glad to be here.
So for months now, we have been hearing about supply chain issues and rising inflation. And if anything, it seems to be getting worse. I mean, even for me, I can't believe how much gas suddenly costs. So for the people working in procurement and sourcing in all these companies all over the world, this has to be a very challenging time, right? I mean, I imagine that for some people, procurement has gone from a routine back office function to suddenly being strategically very important. That's quite a transformation. And well, what's your take on it?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say 9 out of every 10 meetings I take each week with clients are asking about inflation and how do we look at inflation? And this is not just one industry, right? Sometimes we have these challenges that maybe face just one industry. If you remember early on, it was microchips that seemed to be shaping up, and then it was lumber, and then it was something else. So what we're seeing is really unprecedented across all industries. Companies are being dramatically impacted by the impacts of inflation. CPI is up almost 10 digits, so the consumer pricing index. PPI, the producer pricing index that looks at how to price products, is up. And what's really challenging is this is not only affecting every consumer, as people like you and I go out and buy our normal goods. I saw a post recently that someone had taken a photo at a large big box retailer, and the price had gone up overnight, right? The same products they were buying, they had to go back for something else. And they were just amazed at how quickly these stores are moving. So small businesses, consumers, the big manufacturers, everyone's looking at how inflation is impacting the bottom line. And some of the big ticket items right now, obviously, are fuel. I know we've talked about that and how really every industry now is so dependent on these large supply chains to drive logistics, to place inventory. Especially companies like Amazon and other retailers that are looking more and more to go online. At the end of the day, you have to deliver to that last mile and fulfill the request of the consumer. So I think everyone's being is very nervous about what we're going to see over the next several months. as businesses start to reprioritize which products have the highest margin, which items need to be repriced, what are the impacts of inflation going to be long-term? That's the other challenge, right? You don't want to be caught flat-footed and not have a price increase early on, but you can't increase the prices too much and really upend your clients or disrespect your customers, because they'll remember that if someone was gouging or not being respectful during these times. I watched an interview recently where a consumer was talking about some of the automotive retailers that have really marked up vehicles and how they weren't going to honor that dealership once the prices came back down. So everyone's really paying attention closely to what's happening with inflation and how that's going to impact the bottom line over the next several weeks and months. It's moving so fast.
Yeah. And so the people who are actually on the front lines working in procurement, I mean, how is their job changing as a result of all of this?
Yeah, that's a great add-on. And I think what it is before in procurement, there was more static buying cycles, right? So if you had a long lead type item, maybe you locked in a contract for a 12-month period, not that you would sit back in your chair, but you had some confidence that you had a good supplier relationship, you were going to get committed deliveries every week, every month at a price that was locked in and guaranteed. Now, prices are changing so rapidly, finance, engineering, new product, manufacturing, they're all coming back to procurement saying, what is going on? We need better analytics into where this price is going. What is the availability of these products? Should we reshore? That's a very expensive product to ship overseas. Should we do something in our geo, in our region now? So I think procurements used to maybe have less collaborators in their company they had to deal with, maybe finance, maybe the end consumer. Now they're being invited into some of these boardroom meetings and saying, where is the price of fuel going? Where is the price of this protein for consumer goods or for pet food? What about these different sugars? I can no longer get this sweetener. What about this sweetener? And at the end of the day, a lot of these, what we call category managers or commodity managers, are being brought into the spotlight to explain what's happening in the market, even if it is or is not their fault, right? They need to be able to articulate where they think the market's challenging to us.
That's got to be a very interesting experience for them, right? You know, sometimes it's good to be in the spotlight and sometimes it's good to be important, but.
No, it's challenging. We all have different Myers-Briggs personalities, right? So some of the best procurement buyers I've met in the world are just very introverted and they want to do their deep analytical thinking on the commodities that they're buying. They don't need to be in the boardroom presenting that. They're going to bring that through to a product manager or someone else. So the fact that a lot of them are being propelled out there can be quite intimidating.
That's a really good setup for the next question, which is, you know, can you share some specific examples or use cases, you know, that show how these procurement people who are now dealing with this new world, right? And I know we're going to get to planning and analytics, right? So how can technology help with these challenges by connecting maybe different aspects of the procurement process or, you know, so on?
Yeah. And this is what we need to do to build these analytics is really have all of this rich data, right? So in the past, maybe we talked to clients that were only planning at the product level, and they just had some percentages or rough estimations of what manufacturing costs would be for labor, what fuel costs would be for logistics and transport. And they weren't necessarily planning all of the commodities inside of that product, but just looking at margin and profitability. Now, what smart organizations are doing is doing a full indentation of a bill of materials to understand all of the aspects of cost, right? The manufacturing value add, the overheads, marketing, trade and logistics, and I'm not even mentioning the cost of goods sold, all of the materials, raw materials or commodities that go into making that. What I just mentioned in the last 60 seconds is a ton of information, and that may reside in multiple different teams, in multiple different systems. In some cases, that may even be coming from outside of the organization. Companies look to their factories and their co-manufacturers to give that kind of manufacturing uplift, or their trade partners for inbounds, outbounds on logistics and fuel costs. So you have to aggregate all of these multi-tenant data points together to get a true outlook of cost. And that's what organizations, CFOs and chief procurement officers are trying to get to today. What is impacting my price? What can I do about it? And where do I think it's going over the next 3, 6, 12 months? Because it's one thing to be tactical and reactive, right? So a lot of people have really nice analytics and reports that show what happened 6, 12 months ago. but you wouldn't drive your car down the highway only looking in the rear view mirror. You want to see down the highway what's coming at us. What does the forecast say fuel will be 12 months from now? What do we think this commodity price for copper or aluminum or some protein future may be 12 months from now? And so that's what these very advanced teams are getting into with this planning and analytics, is not only looking at what happened in the past, reflecting on what's going on right now, but also looking into the future to try and predict and get ahead of their competition, or at least stay in play with their customers so they don't let anyone down during these challenging times.
Yeah. So it's not only about pulling together all of this data, and as you said, from, you know, potentially many, many different systems, right? But doing it like on a timely fashion, like it's, you know, you can't wait a month to get the data and analysis. You need it as it's happening, or as close as possible to when it's happening right now, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. The cadence has just become blistering, right? The pace that teams used to plan, maybe every quarter they were happy to get through a plan revision, or maybe every 6 months at some clients that I speak with pricing changing every day, an allocation of certain products going away on a 24-hour cycle, you can't wait for next month to replan. You're going to miss out on a pricing hedge. You're going to have a giant inflationary impact. There could be some FX or currency challenge that you didn't see coming. But I think teams are really looking for more just-in-time, real-time information. I don't have a week to get my inventory back from a supplier. I don't have a month to wait for pricing to come in from one of my salespeople outside of the country. So I think organizations are really looking for this cohesion, this collaboration, multi-points of data, but coming together exactly as you mentioned, more in real time. So everyone can have that near-term decision-making without the latency of kind of emails going back and forth and hoping that the information's right. Because even in some cases, the data that's inbound isn't correct. If you wait a week to get something, you take a week to correct it, now you're really dealing with a challenge down the line.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of fun. Well, I think it's a funny story. So years ago when I was an active consultant, I remember talking to a VP of finance, and he was quite a high flying executive. And he was trying to put a little bit of pressure on us. And he said, you know, I can go out and I can get 20 financial analysts to do what your system is going to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think I had a good answer then, but today I would say, well, you know, nine women can't make a baby in a month, right?
Yeah, I love that analogy. And I think it's great. And those nine people don't want to be doing that kind of data hacking for their entire careers.
Yeah.
And smart executives know they need to train people on those skills, but no one wants to do that for their entire career. Help the people automate those tactical workloads so that they can get into higher order activities. The real value is not creating that table. The value is working with the suppliers or the logistics companies to improve their throughput, get the deliveries here faster, find an alternative at a lower price at a similar quality. So yeah, it disappoints me when I hear teams, they say, well, I'm just gonna throw more labor at it. Well, is that really what your labor wants to do? And you wonder why attrition is so high in your department or your company.
Right.
Automation is one of those ways to unlock that happiness from that organization.
So well said. So suppose someone is listening to this and nodding their heads and saying, yes, this is what we've been missing. It takes way too long to weave together all the bits of information we need in Excel or wherever to make really good strategic purchasing decisions. And by the time we have it, we've missed an opportunity to save money or lock in a great supplier and so on. But it's also really hard to figure out how to get started with the kind of transformation you're talking about. I mean, you know, it's easy for you to say that we need to pull in this data from all these different places, but, you know, I mean, I've got politics to deal with. I've got people to sell to internally. So do you have any advice for anyone listening who's interested in pursuing it?
Yeah, that's a great question, AG. And I think it's really all about the timing of what we see happening right now. If I think back pre-pandemic, there was a lot of organizations that were very complacent. They were happy using spreadsheets to run their business. They didn't have this crisis in availability of products or the inflationary measures that we're seeing today. So if you are working in finance or supply chain or procurement, one of these disciplines, we really have a rare opportunity, and I hate to say capitalize on what's going on, but to take this opportunity and time where we do have the spotlight that we talked about in that last question, and to bring our credibility and to bring our capabilities forward and to ask for that investment in the procurement or supply chain community, right? So when the teams ask, why can't I get this data faster? When the CFO or other executives ask, why can't we do scenario analysis? Why don't we have a stronger prediction or forecast? We can point back to those legacy ways of doing all of this as the manner that's arrived us now at this point in time where we'd need more agility. So what I see right now is really teams saying, look, with minimal investment, don't get me wrong, Excel and spreadsheets and G Sheets are always going to have their place within procurement and supply chain teams. What we're saying is use those wisely for the right disciplines, but high grade all of the activities of aggregating data together, building analytics, automating forecast and prediction. That could take hours and dozens of team members to try and cobble together all these big pivot tables. And by the time you create that, the data is out of date, right? So I think we really have this rare opportunity to re-delight our internal stakeholders that we already work with, bring them insights that they never realized themselves, showing key trends in data on commodities, showing where a forecast or prediction is going, not with a guess, but with data, and building that credibility back into the organization. So more and more, I've been delighted to see companies, big retailers, industrial manufacturers, oil and gas companies, high grading women and other leaders into these chief procurement officer roles and demonstrating that high credibility of this organization for the whole company. The biggest thing too, I always make the joke, the journey of 1,000 steps begins by agonizing over what shoes to put on, right? So you don't have to worry about, just step out there. The first step into a connected planning platform, into a cloud-based solution that you no longer have to worry about, do I have the right Excel file? Did I send the wrong file to the wrong factory? Now I've exposed some confidentiality. I think companies are really saying there's got to be a better way than the same way I was doing planning in a spreadsheet since the 80s. How can I step into this new dawn of?
And you don't need to do all of it at once, right? So yes, you do ultimately want to get data from lots of different systems, but you know, if you're working in this area, where your biggest pain points are, you know where your biggest data sources are, and you could start with those. You could tackle them one at a time. You could get some wins from that, and then you can move on to the next thing, right? Maybe you do need to pick your pair of shoes one at a time.
Sometimes, well, great. That's a great example. You do have to make sure those are the running shoes that you want to put on if you're going to run a marathon, right? So you're absolutely right. When we talk to clients and we work with companies, it's all about prioritization. So yeah, which products are driving the highest cost of goods sold? Which suppliers are getting 80%+ of your spend? Which products are you growing into different regions? So let's not focus on the smallest areas. Let's focus on the biggest areas of prize. And that's the other item too. Oftentimes in these spreadsheets, you're trying to cobble together a view on what's actually happening, which elements of the bill of material are actually driving the highest cost. Is it manufacturing? Is it logistic? Is it the specific raw materials in that item? So if you're always working to collect data, you're not able to move into these higher order activities. The other thing I'll recommend is really starting with a foundation of financial data. So many teams want to look out at logistics, they want to look at freight optimization, they want to look at their demand. Those are all very important. But at the end of the day, especially with what's going on in the economy right now, we need to trace all of those decisions back to a financial outcome. If I change from product A to B, what does that look like for profitability? If I switch out this supplier with another, what does that do to my cost of goods sold? If I rebalance between these three factories, what does my overall cost for manufacturing look like? So as an example, in each of those three illustrations, it all came back to cost. So that's a really a great place to start as well, is just making sure you have your pricing in order, making sure you understand which suppliers have the largest impact on the bottom line, and making sure that finance and procurement have that alliance. So when we're reflecting numbers back to the C-suite or other stakeholders, everyone's thumbs up that, yeah, this data is credible and it's going to help us drive the correct outcome.
Now, that's some really, really great guidance, Brian. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a really fun conversation. I learned a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. Do stay in touch. You can email us at info@quebit.com or check out past episodes and transcripts at qubit.com/podcast. Until next time, take care. Thank you.